One power, one power, one power. That's what he sings. And what we know and believe in our teaching here is that that one power goes by many, many names. God, as he said, God, Jesus, Lord, all sorts of things, Buddha, Allah. And one of the words we use for that power is life. Life itself that runs through and animates everything that is. And we know, and we always remind you and us and me and all of us, that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. That's all it wants. That's all God wants from us, is the opportunity to be the greatest expression that we can be, the greatest examples, the greatest participants in the power of love and life and joy and harmony and happiness, and the power to move through things that perhaps are causing challenges or problems for us in ways that give us a greater sense of who and where we are. So knowing that, what I also know and can say easily and freely is that you are absolutely honored and welcome here. We know who you are because we know you're an expression of the divine. We may not know your name or your personality, but wherever you are, we know you. And we know that you are an expression of the divine, and that that divine powerful beingness that is who you and who and what you really are, that deep down inside part that you may or may not feel free to express, is just waiting to get out. So we honor you, we recognize you. We say to you that whatever your pronouns, whatever your ethnicity, whatever your thoughts about yourself, your background, you're welcome, and we celebrate you. So we're glad you're here. We're glad you're with us. We teach a lot of things, but the focus is on new thought. The focus is on the science of mind as presented by Ernest Holmes. And we like to share with you some of what we believe. I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. Now that went by pretty quickly, and it's just a part of the Declaration of Principles written by Dr. Ernest Holmes. So if you want to see more, go to our website, cslmidtown.org. And you'll find that in its full version, along with a whole lot of other resources that might be available, that you might want to use, that are available to you. So this morning we do have our theme for the month is words that heal. Today we are going to have a talk on healing. What is healing? What is a healing? So, because we've been talking about healing for a long time, and that's a core idea of this teaching, is that we are a teaching healing ministry. And so we're going to be very grateful to hear from Reverend Cynthia Paulson as she shares with us what is a healing. Now, before that, let me say a word about her. She's an interfaith minister. She's also a newly published author of a wonderful book entitled Untying the Knots. So if you got some knots going on, her book is a wonderful meditation almost on various ideas of the knots within us and how to untie them. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend Reverend Cynthia. So before that, however, our practitioner who has been a cornerstone in the consciousness of this center since the beginning, We'll share with us a few words about that idea and an affirmative prayer. So join me in welcoming Judy Avey.
Good morning. And I'm so grateful to be here this morning. And we are talking this morning about what is a healing. And I know we're going to hear a lot more about that from Reverend Cynthia Paulson, but I'll just give you my thoughts on it as well. Healing is, for me, is when all things are being made new. And if we're talking about healing our bodies, we are not talking about a power that just sort of patches things up. But instead, the promise from Spirit is that all things will be made new. This is true also if we're talking about healing our lives. The situation, the job, the relationship, the whatever has gotten you flummoxed, the presence and power that we talk about here, this presence and power that is everywhere, and that is all there is the thing that heals and makes all things new. So we should not ask for anything less. We should not think that we deserve less than the full newness of life in every way. Our wholeness and perfection already exists. It has always existed. We just need to align ourselves with it. We have so many messages from the world around us about healing, that it has to be hard, that it has to take a long time, that it's impossible at your age. These are the messages from the world that are not grounded in truth. The truth that we teach here, that this is a teaching that is spiritual and mental and a teaching of the heart. What we know in our heart and what we believe, what we expect, that will be our experience. Your healing may appear to come from the traditional medical world, or maybe from the alternative medical world, or from something else that appears outside of us or outside of you. But know that the healing of your body or of your life begins with the idea and belief that you have in your mind, the thing that you believe is possible for you. So if we allow ourselves to be in the flow of this great goodness, this great good that we call Spirit, it is really all that there is. And it's everywhere present, as we say. It's all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere. It is the power that heals. It is the power that makes all things new. And it doesn't take a huge amount of faith in this power. I really think it only takes a small little beam of light, a small little belief that can come through, a small little grain of mustard seed, that we can believe in the trueness and possibility of life being made new. So I don't know about you, but what I want to do is align myself with this presence, with this power, with this goodness, because it really is the answer and the healing for me in my life. And I believe that it is the power and presence that is the healing for your life too. So those are my thoughts about what is a healing. It makes all things new. So let's shift from those words and thoughts and ideas into spiritual mind treatment. And if you will just take a few moments to allow yourself to relax and be centered and maybe take a couple of nice, slow, deep breaths. And I'm going to do this treatment in the first person for as if I'm doing it for myself, but please accept it for yourself because these words are also for you. All right. I know that as I sit here in this moment, I just take this time to recognize and to know that Spirit, God, this presence is all that there is. That this power is a power for good. It is a loving presence. It is a healing presence. It is all powerful. It is all knowing. It is everywhere present. And it is present in me, and it is flowing through me and as me. And as I know my oneness with this unity and my oneness with this wholeness, this peace, this power, this presence, this love, this goodness, I know that all in my life, that everything that is in my physical body and in my world and in my life, that all is well, that all is expanding in greater and greater good always. I know that the truth of my body is that of divine, vibrant health. This is the truth. This is the truth of every cell, of every organ, of every ligament, of every joint, of every muscle, of every microscopic tiny piece, that it is absolutely functioning in perfect harmony and joy and peace with this good. I know that my life is a life that reflects this presence of good in the world, that my life is a life that is in alignment with this goodness and with this presence and this with this power. And I simply allow this presence, this goodness to express through me in every way, as loving relationships, as great creativity, as infinite abundance and wealth and prosperity of every good thing. So I know that this is the truth. I open my mind to greater possibilities for my life. If there is something happening in my life that feels too hard to figure out, too hard to transform, too hard to solve, I just let go of that idea and know that there is no truth in it, that the truth of me is that there is absolute spiritual perfection, and that all is well, and that all there is the possibility of all things being made new. So I just open myself up to knowing this, to standing in faith, and knowing that I am always guided, guarded, and directed into my greatest good. So this is my truth. I embrace it now, knowing that it is so. I release these words now to the law of mind, and I know that this treatment demonstrates, and it demonstrates in perfect timing, beautifully and well. So I am grateful. So I release this now, knowing that it is so, and so it is.
Good morning. Two things before I get started. One is, thank you, Dr. Bob, for graciously mentioning my book, but he said the wrong title. It's not Untying the Knots. It's called Undoing the Knots, in case you wanted to look for it. Thank you. I also want to take an opportunity to wish our very own Dr. Bob a happy birthday. Today is actually his birthday. So if you are on Facebook, check out CSL Midtown's Facebook page, and there's an opportunity there to wish him happy birthday. Okay, so today we are talking about healing. We've been talking about healing all month, words that heal, ways that we can heal our body, areas of our lives that we can heal. I have always been very intrigued by the topic of healing as far as this philosophy goes and this great teaching that we study and practice. So I want to know how we can use this teaching to heal ourselves, particularly physically, our physical bodies. It has always been very interesting to me. So let's start off today with a little exercise. I want you to think for a moment about the last time you got a paper cut. How'd that feel? It hurt, right? Of course. It's one of those stupid little things like stubbing your toe, these little things that human can do to ourselves. And I mean, a paper cut is so minor, but it really hurt. Did you ever get a paper cut like right between your fingers like that? Ooh, it hurts. So you get this paper cut and a couple hours later, it doesn't hurt quite so much. And the next day, it really only hurts if you touch it, you know, by accident, or if you're like me, this always seems to happen. I get a paper cut and then the next day I go to put some lemon in my lemon water and that lemon gets in there and oh, it hurts so much. And the next day, about day three after getting this paper cut, you forget you even got a paper cut because it's already healed. That's what our bodies do. Now, sure, many of you, when you were a kid, probably broke a bone, right? Kids are always doing that. I was lucky. I never did. But one of my daughters broke her arm, the same arm, three times, three different bones, three different surgeries, three casts. Now, her arm is perfectly fine now. She's 24 years old and the arm is all healed, obviously. But I remember her orthopedic surgeon, who we got to know very well after three breaks, he told me this story about how when he was in medical school, his instructors showed them x-rays and films of children who had broken bones that lived in third world countries, right? And so these kids had no access to medical care, but the broken pieces of bone would seek each other out and fuse together. So even if it was a little deformed, it would still heal. So the child would just adapt to the new bone formation and the kids would function, right? The bones heal even without being perfectly set or a surgery being performed. So the bones we broke as children are not still broken because they heal. Everything in our bodies is designed to heal. We are made that way by the one power and one presence of our creator, God, spirit, universe, source. Insert your word of choice. Now, beyond broken bones and cuts, this also applies to any illness or dis-ease that we might experience. I met someone in a writing class the other day. She's a perfectly healthy, functioning woman, and she happened to mention that a couple years ago, she had been very sick with COVID, and she was flat on her back in the ICU for a month. And then she was in the regular hospital after that, and then she had to go to rehab and learn how to walk again. She was very fortunate, but looking at her today, you would never know what her body had experienced because she's all healed and fully recovered. I bet there is someone on here watching today who has healed from some kind of substantial illness. Or, you know, if it's not you, maybe you might know someone who was diagnosed with a disease or a condition and now they don't have that disease or that condition anymore because they're healed. Remission is a very real and wonderful thing that happens. So these are some examples of physical healings, and that's really what I'm gonna talk about and focus on today. Now, as an aside, we do know that there are all kinds of healing, mental healing, spiritual healing, emotional healing, trauma healing, but I'm going to talk mainly about physical healing in the body, of the body. And as I said, I find it fascinating and I am genuinely curious about it. I have questions. You know, what exactly is happening when we heal physically? Who or what initiates this activity of healing? Why do some people heal and some people seemingly don't? What role do we have to play in our own physical healing? So let's dive in and start at the beginning. You know, I'm a writer and I'm a word girl, so I want to know, what's the definition? What does healing mean? What is a healing? Well, the dictionary defines healing as the process of making or becoming healthy again. Process of making or becoming healthy again. I love that the definition has the word again at the end, becoming healthy again. So even in this normal English language definition, it's implying that we start off healthy, go through whatever we go through, and in healing, we return to health. Ernest Holmes talked a lot about healing in his numerous books, including The Science of Mind. And in The Science of Mind, he defined healing as, oop, that's not it. Sorry, not yet. He defined healing as restoring man to a condition of wholeness. I'm going to just edit that so we girls don't take offense. Let's pretend he said restoring humanity or restoring a human being to a condition of wholeness. In other words, to make whole. Health and wholeness are our natural state of being. We know this. When we experience a healing, our body returns to that natural state of wholeness. Now, all this talk of healing and returning to the natural state of wholeness makes me think of Jesus and the miracles that he performed, because that's what he was doing, restoring and returning people to a state of wholeness. Now, a big chunk of the Science of Mind textbook, I think it's over 80 pages, is dedicated to the sayings and teachings and healings that Jesus carried out in the New Testament. So much of the Science of Mind and New Thought philosophy in general is based on this great example we have of Jesus and his ability to heal others. Okay, so how? How was he able to heal and restore the health and wholeness, restore them to health and wholeness? Jesus would probably be the first one to tell you that he didn't do the work. It was the Father within him that did the miraculous work of healing. Now, the science of mind teaches that the power within him that was able to do these things is also within and available to all of us. So whatever we call it, the indwelling God, the Christ within us, the power within us, whatever it is, it has the capacity to heal. So I'm still asking the question, how? Jesus saw past the conditions and illness and symptoms that people were experiencing in their bodies. He saw past all of it to the truth of their divine wholeness. And what's interesting is, according to the Bible, if you read those scriptures, he did not focus on the body at all. He didn't say to the leper, tell me more about this disease you've got. He didn't say to the blind man, how have you been sleeping? How's your diet? Are you getting your vitamins? The master teacher who demonstrated spiritual healing principles was never concerned with symptoms, conditions, or the external physical habits of the body. Now, interestingly, the only question he asks is, wilt thou be made whole? In plain English, he would say, do you want to get well? Now, here's how I translate it. Do you believe you can be well? This is actually what I say to someone who comes to me with a physical illness or disease for spiritual practitioner healing work. I ask them things like, do you believe you can be healed? I'm very honest, and as delicately as I can, I tell them, I don't really want to hear too much about what the doctors have to say. I don't want to see what the lab results look like. I have compassion, of course, for the pain that they might be experiencing. But I ask them plainly, do you believe in the possibility of your healing? Because how someone answers those questions says a lot about where they are in their consciousness. Now, rest assured, I have to ask myself these questions a lot when I deal with my own health challenges. I have to pay attention to what I am thinking and believing about my wholeness. Nona Brooks was one of the founders of Divine Science, and she wrote in one of her many published articles that in order to be made whole, we have to come to the realization that we are whole by divine birthright. So in order to be made whole, in order to return to our wholeness, we have to realize we already are whole simply because we are children of God. She believed, as did other New Thought leaders of her time, that once we realize that we're whole in our thinking, in our consciousness, once we realize that, then we realize there's nothing to heal. What? Yes. Okay, so get this. Ernest Holmes said the same thing. Now's the quote, Paul. He was once asked to explain why he thought healing was easy. Apparently he had said that. And this was his reply. People say they cannot heal because they do not understand that they do not have to heal. Healing is the recognition that there is a universal mind in which you are immersed, which acts on your thought and directs it unto you. Get out of your consciousness that you have got to heal and know that it does unto you, and you speak the word, and if the word is definitely thought, you can heal. Now, I don't know if I'm the only one whose mind just gets blown by this kind of talk. To be told that I can think and believe in a completely new way with regard to my health. H.B. Jeffrey was another popular New Thought author and lecturer about the same time Nona Brooks and Ernest Holmes were writing these amazing things. And he had similar ideas about this. So here's a three-line quote from his book, The Principles of Healing. But this is so juicy, I'm going to kind of break this up and talk about it for a minute. It starts out with him saying, Jesus knew and acknowledged that the work was already done, because that one presence and power could see no evil and perceive no illness. Okay, so that line saying the power of God can't perceive illness because it's perfect. The one power and presence of God is perfect health and wholeness. It can't even recognize sickness. Okay, then he goes on. Jesus spoke the word of truth by knowing it. Jesus fully understood and knew this because of his unity with God, which, spoiler alert, we have that unity too. And that last line says, so the one who would heal, meaning any of us, anyone who wants to heal, you, me, practitioners, ministers, all of us, one who would heal, paradoxical as this may seem, must be he, one who sees nothing heal, therefore makes no effort to heal. This, thank you, Paul. These high consciousness spiritual thought leaders are suggesting that in order for us to heal, we might need to stop trying to heal. It sounds like they're talking in circles, but I think what they're saying is maybe the key to our healing is to not spend too much time thinking about healing and instead focus on the truth that we are healthy and whole by our birthright. We turn away in thought from the condition, from the evidence of the disease, and we dwell instead on the idea of our perfect wholeness in God. There is something to be said for this suggestion to stop dwelling on the symptom, the diagnosis, stop believing that something's wrong, and instead shift our focus to knowing that we are whole. This does seem like a good moment to pause and clarify that I am not suggesting that we can't seek help from a doctor or from a medical facility. In fact, Ernest Holmes always made it clear in this work that when we are working on our consciousness, when we are working on our thoughts and beliefs to bring about healing, that can be done side by side with any other treatment or modality. He believed that the field of modern medicine and the field of spiritual mind healing could and should work together. So the idea is to get ourselves to the place where we believe we can be made whole, where we believe in that possibility. And then we have to realize we already are whole and that there's nothing really to heal. I think that's when the magic happens. When we can live from this place of truth, that's when we experience our healing. It seems to me that healing is simple, but not necessarily easy. In fact, healing can be very hard. Why do we make healing so hard? Why do we waste our time and energy believing in our sickness, focused on our pain and our symptoms, and trusting in our disease? Have you ever met someone who argues for their illness? I have. Or someone who clings to the label of their disease? Or someone who claims sickness for themselves with their words? You know, I think we've all done that at some point. You know, we say things like, oh, my sciatica, or my endometriosis, or oh, my diabetes. Really? It's yours? It's not yours. It's something your body is experiencing. Unfortunately, society and the collective race consciousness encourages us to believe in disease. Try watching an hour of live television without seeing a drug company commercial. You know, you can't. Fear about sickness and disease is rampant. But we know fear of anything is a misuse of spiritual law. It's believing in something outside of God's truth for us. Many of us fear disease more than we believe in our divine wholeness. I'm going to say that again. Too many of us fear disease more than we believe in our divine wholeness. So maybe that's your call to action today, to go within and ask yourself, am I fearing a disease more than I'm believing in my wholeness? In which one do you want to put your faith? You can put your faith in a symptom or a diagnosis. You can put your faith in what the world is telling you is going to kill you. Or you can put your faith in your perfect divine wholeness. I really believe healing is a natural consequence when we think thoughts of truth, when we believe in God's perfect wholeness, our perfect wholeness. When we do that and believe in that more than our outer physical conditions, the result is going to be a healing. So I invite you to think about this. Meditate on your wholeness. Take it to prayer and know that I stand in complete agreement with you, knowing your perfect health and wholeness. Thank you so much for having me, CSL Midtown.
Thank you, Reverend Cynthia. What an awesome talk this morning. And that wholeness and that thinking is what we do here. Thinking, heart, put it together, create a healing in your life. And that knowledge and that expansion is where we live. And I'm spiritually fed for that. And that's why I contribute and join the center in perpetuating this conversation that we have every week. So if you would with me, you have an opportunity to join and give and donate with the slides. So you can donate at cslmidtown.org/donate or click on the QR code, set up a one-time donation or an ongoing contribution. Those are all available. So now our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And now I'm going to turn it over to the president of our board, Lee Huffman, for a special announcement.
Great. Thank you, Vance. I wanted to do two things today. I wanted to give you a quick update as to what's happening with the transition team. You should have already seen the special letters that have come out from the board and from Bob, Reverend Dean. And so we are moving forward, and I wanted to give you an update on that. And I also want to give you a special opportunity where you can contribute and help us recognize Reverend Dean. So let me do two of those. About the transition, this is going to take some time. We are working with the Centers for Spiritual Living home office out in Boulder, Colorado. Their process for bringing someone on board as a new senior minister to replace Reverend Dean is going to take us 12 to 18 months. So in the meantime, the transition team is going to be running the center, as happens in most centers during this type of time frame. And that team and the board and the practitioners are all working together. And we are making sure that we're going to have guest speakers, that we are going to have all the things that you would expect from the center are going to continue to go on. So what you can do for your part is you can continue to participate with us. You can continue to give to the center, and you can definitely continue with your treatments and your prayers for the center that we'll be making the right decisions along the way. And we know we will. We know that there is the right minister out there to come to our center. Atlanta is a good place to be, and we have this wonderful virtual community that is out there for us. So we know it's going to come together. We also know that it's going to take a bit of time. So please bear with us and support us in any way that you can, and we'll continue to give you updates. At the same time, I want you to join us in recognizing Dr. Dean. And you know, I know him as Bob, and I know that many of you do as well, but we have an opportunity to give at the same website that Vance just mentioned, www.cslmidtown.org/donate. And you can go there, and now there are three buttons where you can give. They all go into the general fund, but the first two are designated to the general fund. They go in through two different systems. And then the third is a PayPal, which goes into the general fund, but gets earmarked as a love offering for Reverend Dean to say thank you and to just tell him how much we appreciate him and help him out with his future retirement from CSL Midtown. So I just want to encourage everyone to give. If there are any questions, you can send an email to info@cslmidtown.org and we'll get back to you. And watch out for the newsletter. And I think that's it. So over to Bob. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. And thank you, CSL Midtown, for your generosity and your kindness to me as I'm moving on to my next adventure. I'm retreading. I don't know how much retiring I'm doing, but I'm certainly moving into a whole new experience of life that is much different than what I've done before. So I appreciate all of you. Thank you, Cynthia, for that talk. And thank you for the correction on your book, Untying, Undoing. I think Untying, whatever, yours is a much better title because we undo it because we did it in the first place. I hate that part. Anyway, thank you so much, everyone. And I'd like to remind you of an event happening in September. It happens to be going on here in Atlanta, and that is that Center for Spiritual Living at the national level has three councils. We have a minister's council, we have a practitioner's council, and we have a member council. The member council is made up of folks who are members, don't have any other special, you know, designations, but are simply members, and are members who are turning their lives around thanks to this teaching. So they are sponsoring an event here on the 29th and 30th of September that will be happening and be held at SLCA for in person. And it will be held online as well. I think we have a flyer for that. There it is. So One Heart, member focused event. And there's a whole lot there. This will also be in our newsletter coming out this week. It will be on our website. So you'll have plenty of places to find the connection and sign up. I'm very excited. Both the ministers who are going to be speaking and the lay folks, as well as the musician, are extraordinary and outstanding. And I really encourage you to consider, if you're in Atlanta and you're a member of any of our centers here in Atlanta, and we have a number of them, please consider joining that event. You will not be sad or disappointed. Also, if you're online, you can also join it from there. It's just a little different experience. So as we come to the close of our time together today, know with me that there is always something greater, always something better, always something waiting for you that the infinite is offering and doing for you, as you, and through you. Join us in our closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. See you next week. Reverend Cynthia will be back.